BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts. Scott Mills.
The Friday Behind the Scenes Bonus Extra Bits Podcast with Chris Stark.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Friday podcast. So this is the extra podcast that we do at the end of the week. Obviously, you've got the main thing, the Scott Mills Daily, every day, Monday to Thursday. And then Friday, this is just a good excuse to kind of wrap things up, maybe speak to a couple of you guys, take some of your questions. It's just like the little extra show on the end of the week. Think of it like one of those extra shows that you get with the TV shows and that. You know what I mean? Like the extra one with Strictly Come Dancing or the extra one with X Factor. That sort of thing. I think this week on the show, we've done so much good stuff. Like, this thing that we're about to talk about, I could have sworn was 2 weeks ago. But this week, we did a vocal coach with John Newman. And he is a dude. He was so, so funny. And the vocal coach was great. But what I love about certain features that we do is that loads of you guys get involved and love to do it yourselves when you're at home. Loads of you play innuendo bingo at school or college or at work. There was one guy who messaged saying he did it as some part of, like, team building thing at his work. And we love that so much. So it gave me great joy when I got a message on Instagram about a group of girls that do the vocal coach. It's basically them mucking around doing a bit of karaoke, but it's very funny. So have a listen to this. This is Verity, Ellie and Jess doing Rag & Bowman and Calvin Harris, Giant.
I will be nothing.
You are nothing. Nothing to me.
Without you holding me up.
Oh, whoa.
Both of us.
Are you stronger? How many weights are you lifting?
I am dying.
You're not that big though, are you? You're on the table.
On my shoulders. Tell me what you see.
I need a takeaway. I'm hungry.
Giant. I'm big. I'm breaking boulders underneath my feet.
I need my feet rubbed.
I am giant.
I love it so much. I mean, let's be real. The singing's not amazing. But we've got one of the girls on the line right now. Hello, Verity.
Hello. Hiya.
So what were you thinking? Was this the kind of thing that you did after a couple of drinks, then sent to me and sort of forgot about it?
I didn't send it to you. It's one of the girls, they tagged you all in on Instagram.
Yeah.
And now it's obviously been seen. Sorry.
Now, it's funny how it works because I don't follow you girls on Instagram, but there is a folder that you can sort of creep into, which we always call the Muggle folder. It's mildly offensive that, but go with it.
Okay,
but cool. I do check it quite often because there's some really funky stuff, especially after nights out, sort of Saturday morning, Sunday morning, there's gold in there because people go out, put stuff on Instagram or send us messages on Instagram that they then regret the next day. But I don't think you should regret it. It's brilliant.
No, it was good fun. We enjoy listening to the game on the radio. So we're like, let's have a go. Why not?
And whose idea was it to do it as part of a night out?
Well, it's my friend Jess. She was having a bit of a singing competition with her friend on the phone, like through voice notes. They were, I didn't even think they were drunk at the time, but they were doing like one of those chats where whatever the last few words is that you say, you have to start the next sentence with a song that fits to what she's just said. And then it went on. Jess was like, let's play Radio One, like the game that they do on the vocal coach, and we'll vocal coach you. I was like, oh God, okay, let's try it.
Oh my God, I love Jess. We need to get her on.
She's crazy.
Do you know, producer Jess is with me doing this podcast today. So Jess, please make sure that you write down. We need to get the other Jess on next week. Yes, great. All right then. Well, look, thanks for doing that. And thanks for thinking of us when you're just having a laugh with your mates. It's wicked though. We love seeing that sort of thing. And I look forward to seeing more of this sort of thing. She does describe Rag & Bowman in an incredible way at one point. We can't play it because it's too rude.
Well, you probably can't see, but on the video, we were actually having massages. That's how the night started. My friend Ellie was a masseuse. She was giving us massages. And drank too much wine. And then when we started playing the game, I got up on the bed and I was pretending to be a giant. So it was a little bit crazy. Hence, the girls were heckling me quite bad. I was like, yeah, come on then, give it to me. I'm 5'1". So I'm really not a giant, which made it more funny.
I love it. More of that. And if anyone else is listening and sort of doing some of the stuff that we do on the show in real life, make sure you just slide into the DM folder or drop us an email, scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. Nice one, Verity.
Thank you.
Good to speak to you. All right, then. Cheers, then. Bye.
Bye-bye.
I do think the vocal coach lesson with Rag & Bowman is the best. However, John Newman was in this week and he did an exceptional one as well. In case you missed it on the podcast earlier in the week, here it is, John Newman.
All right, so we're going to do Love Me Again, okay?
Okay.
Now, no pressure, this track has 850 million views on YouTube, straight to number one in the UK. Yeah, top 10 in 28 countries. Nominated for Best British Single at the Brits. It's been used on FIFA. It's been used in films.
Yeah, every montage going as well. Oh, yeah. Sporting tournaments.
Yeah.
Hear it everywhere.
Yeah. But I think we can get the extra inch out of you, John.
But.
Okay.
So. Oh, that's cool.
Okay.
But.
All right. So just follow my instructions, and I think that we'll be able to get this done even better than the original, which of course is very good.
Mm, thank you. You won't get this on radio anymore, would you?
What, this?
That intro.
Oh, no, you wouldn't know. What do you know?
No, I've done wrong.
What?
Lift your hats on.
You have.
Step what devils do.
Yeah, that is a classic devil thing to do.
Took you so low.
Where
only fools go.
I'm shook.
I shook the angel in you.
Can you get up off the floor, please?
Now rising from the ground.
Good.
Rising up to you.
Oh, okay, that's definitely one. Filled with?
Filled with all the strength I found.
What can you do?
There's nothing I can do.
John, think about it. I'm stood here naked in front of you. I know there's questions you want to ask me. What is it? Spit it out. What do you need?
I need to know now.
Yes?
Know now.
What?
Can you love me again?
I'm not sure.
I need to know now. Know now. Can you love me again?
Beg me harder.
It's so high.
Come on.
Know now. Can you love me again?
Like you mean it.
I need to know now.
More.
Know now. Can you love me again?
It's high, isn't it?
It's so high.
So high.
Everyone, if you're going to watch this, don't take the sound off and put other sounds to it. Because I can just imagine me in the camera going, ooh, Jeffrey. Ooh. Ooh, Cyril. Ooh.
Do you feel that was, I got more out of
I
you?
Felt, I actually did, because I was worried that I was going to get high, but I felt like you egged me on.
Thank you.
Got me there.
Yeah, thank you.
I saw you go to a new place there, Scott. You got quite angry at points.
Mm. Yeah,
harder! It was probably the naked bit as well, and then
threw you, probably.
I'm sorry, out of all of them, that was the, I got really aggressive there for some reason. But
you're,
I think,
one of those teachers, though, aren't you? You're just feeling it.
Yeah. Can you just say the line that you said before the chorus, because I was laughing?
I think it just came from a special place, didn't it, Scott?
Well, I just wanted to, I wanted you to get in the zone. I think it was like, I'm stood here naked in front of you, John. I know there's questions you want to ask me. What is it? Spit it out. What do you need?
What do you need?
Which in hindsight, is aggressive.
I love this podcast because it's just a good excuse to get some feedback on stuff we've done this week. Hello, Lola.
Hi there.
Hey. You good?
Yeah, I'm great, thanks.
So what was your favourite bit from this week? Or is this a complaint?
No, not a complaint.
Okay, good.
I really enjoyed your Glad to Southend that you did this week.
Yeah.
It was great.
Brilliant. Okay, well, this is the stark history of sort of thing that I'm doing. The big aim with this, Lola, is to try and get BBC Four to give me my own travel series, but it's just about towns in the UK. So we started doing this thing a while ago. It all came from just before the Lolathon, where I was having to visit some places in the run-up to that with funny names. Uh-huh. So we went to go see Thong and Muff and a couple of other places like that. And what we thought we'd do for each place is just do one of these ridiculous over-the-top guides.
Yeah.
But I'm pleased you like the Southend one, because it's the first one that we've done since.
Yeah.
Are you from Southend?
I am. I live about 10 minutes away. Always been very close.
Yeah,
I think you gave it a great representation.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Do you think I summed up the place well enough?
I think you did. I'm a bit concerned it was overhyped a little bit. I don't want anyone to be too disappointed.
No, that's what it's all about. You see, here's what I'm thinking is we can be the ultimate tourist guide to whatever place people want to know about. And it's best to sell it. You know, Southend's a beautiful place. You're just
definitely
jaded because you've lived there a while. Everyone's like that with their towns.
Yeah, that is true. Good point.
All right, so in case you missed this yesterday, it was on yesterday's podcast. This is one of my stark guides to, or stark histories of, we haven't quite got the name right yet. And we did it for Southend. But what you wouldn't have heard yesterday, because we didn't have time to play out on the show, was a chat that me and Scott had with Natalie all about the hotel she was staying in. It was quite funny. So we thought we could put it on this podcast. So enjoy. It's my guide to, but with added hotel stories.
Natalie, where are you off to this weekend?
I'm going to Southend-on-Sea.
In Essex?
Yeah, I didn't actually know it was there, but that's what that is where I'm going, yeah.
Okay. And what's the occasion?
Well, it was my 30th birthday a year and a bit ago, but they just only got round to giving me my present now.
And then the present is the gift of Southend-on-Sea, is it?
Well, the present was going to be take me away for a weekend somewhere, you know, like somewhere fancy, but then they realised that I'd probably like something that was a bit less glamorous. So we're going to Southend-on-Sea to the Wetherspoons Hotel.
Oh, lovely. Yes. Do you know what it is? You're here for good times, aren't you? You're not here for posh times. You're here for good times.
Yeah, of course I am.
I respect that.
Thanks. Yeah, I think it'll be weird. Mm.
I've had some good times in Southend, you know.
Have you?
Yeah.
Tell me.
Just basically by the sea.
Do you know what? Some of the best nights out are where you and a group of mates go to a totally different town. Totally. I don't know why it's better. It's just somewhere new, different people, that sort of thing.
That's exactly what we want. We've got, I think they've got a few ideas in mind, but we don't really know anything about the place. So if you can help, I'm all ears. I'll
tell you one of my best weekends ever. Do you remember when that show, The Hotel, was on?
Yeah.
It was based in Torquay, was it?
It was so fun, this.
With, do you remember Mark, the manager? What a great show. Me and Chris went for a joint birthday weekend to the hotel.
That was great.
It was great. We got shirts made up for it and everything.
It was so good.
The shirts.
Oh, we should have got T-shirts. Damn it.
No, well, we got them done there. Just because I insist on it. Yeah. Scott wasn't that fussed about it, but I made sure everyone had them. So it said, Lads on Tour, Key.
Yeah. And do you remember?
But there's a reference to Baba Coombe, basically saying that we were something deep in Baba Coombe.
Yeah. I was actually just looking at the pictures of it the other day, and I was like, good times.
Yeah, really good times.
Like, you know, but like not abroad, just like a Torquay, but great.
It's the best. I heard about, I think a few people do this, but a group of lads that wait for the scores to come in on football on a Saturday afternoon, the first team to score, they then go to that town for a night out.
Do they?
Yeah, so they all wait. They wait around the screen, and it could be any team, so, you know, anywhere. And then as soon as that goal is scored, they then set off on the train.
That's so good.
That's brilliant.
Night out. I love that sort of thing. I love anyone that does that. Anyone who turns up at a train station and does like a lottery of platform numbers and then just goes to the end, that kind of thing. Anyway, big night out. You want to know more about Southend, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, Chris has done a handy guide for you. Ready to hear it?
Oh, Chris. Yeah, I am.
It's coming next.
Go to Posh Voice. And we're off. Southend, or to give it its first name, Southend. It's two words, the original name for Southend. It's got two separate words there, South and End. Because that's right, what is now one of the jewels of the Essex coastline started off as the South End of the village of Prittlewell, growing into its own settlements in the 1790s. By the late Georgian era, stagecoaches from London made Southend into one of the gems of the great British seaside. Play the seaside music, Scott.
Okay.
Through the next 100 years, a new railway, a 7-mile sand beach, and an average summer temperature of at least 21 degrees...
No real.
...meant one thing for Southend, and that was tourism.
And more tourism.
Attractions popped up everywhere. A funicular railway, an amusement park, music halls, a pier. And my good God, does Southend have a pier. The length on it. 1.34 miles. And although over the last 150 yards, it has suffered several bad fires and ships seem to regularly sail into it, it still stands there, majestically, a symbol of man's dominance over the ocean. Scott, play the Britannia music. Dominating the sea. The length on it. Massive pier. Back to the normal music, please. Like many great British seaside resorts, Blackpool, Brighton, Whitby, Skegness, The rise of package holidays to Spain saw the decline of tourism. The arcades fell silent. The beaches empty. In the music halls, the music wasn't playing anymore. Stop the music. Stop the music. Start the music. But out of the ashes of Phoenix rose, Southend became more than just a beach, more than just a row of fancy hotels. For example, did you know Dixon's Electronics was founded there? Did you know the town featured in the 2015 Vauxhall Corsa advert? Did you know it has an airport that flies to destinations like Corfu?
It does.
Cluj. Cluj? What? And Cologne.
What's Cluj?
I don't know. Cludge? Cluj? We'll go with Cluj.
Do you know, actually, Southend Airport is banging.
Is it?
Yeah. Because you can get through in, like, no time.
Mate, I always just untick it on the selections because I assume that I'm not going to go to it.
No, it's not far.
Not London.
It's not London.
Not
same,
to me.
Same as Gatwick. Not London. Stop saying London, Gatwick. Oh, Cluj is Romania, babe.
Oh, Cluj. It produced Great Britons like Dame Helen Mirren, Countdown's Rachel Riley, James Bourne from Busted, and the guy that played the executioner in season one of Game of Thrones. I don't know if they still live there. So here's the thing, Scott and Natalie. Yes, Southend has had its ups and downs, but for this weekend, it will become Natalie's home. She can enjoy the pier, the art galleries, the museum, the rude boy drivers, the cliff gardens, the rude girl drivers, the model railway, Charmeleon nightclub, Atlantis nightclub.
Do you mean chameleon?
Yes. She can try out Adventureland, the theme park. Although you must wear your top in there, they've recently banned topless people. She could sup a local bitter in the Old Trout Tavern, or see tribute band Guns Two Roses at the Chinneries.
They sound good.
There's something for everyone in Southend. There you go.
See, your weekend is sorted now.
I actually didn't know there was that much there. There was a model railway.
It says here funicular railway. I don't know what that is though. Either way, have a lovely weekend.
I will.
You might bump into Rachel Riley off of Countdown or James from Busted.
Or Dame Helen Mirren. She might go back.
Exactly.
Do you feel more excited about the weekend in Southend now?
I'm really, really excited. Thank you.
I think the Guns N' Roses tribute band are then off to Kamiko Chameleon. Good to speak to you, Natalie. Thanks for being on.
Thank you. We'll check it out. I'll let you know how we get on.
Last week, we stumbled upon my new favourite feature, which is your stories about great escapes from situations. Generally, these happen after a one-night stand. You've got to escape from a halls of residence, you know, someone's parents' house, even barracks. That was on last week. But this week, we had a great, great escape story. It was awesome. Abby, you liked it, right?
Yeah, it was great. It was very entertaining, especially when she fell in the water.
But this is it. It was all about narrowboats. So in case you missed this on the podcast this week, here's what happened. This great escape story is ridiculous.
I met a guy on Tinder and I found out that he lived on a houseboat, which is fine. I thought I'd embrace it and kind of just see how it went.
Yeah, great fun. It's good to have a gimmick.
What do you mean embrace it? I would be like, yes to the houseboat.
Because, you know, I'm looking for, you know, the man I'm going to spend the rest of my life with, and a houseboat kind of limits, you know.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, it does the opposite. It's a moving house. It's amazing. I used to see a girl on a houseboat.
Did you?
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
I promise you I did.
Lol.
It was moored up in Ripmansworth.
she lived on it.
Oh, this is... I'm not sure I should be talking
about
this, but I'll go into more detail. Why not?
You've had also...
I trust you guys.
Listen, you've had more girls than I think you have.
That's an amazing thing to say.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't really explored our pasts properly on the radio before, have we? Because there's a time that I met you,
yeah,
but there's a whole time before that where I was figuring out stuff. And really, 24 years at the Tap End, which we used to do, covered some of those stories. But yeah,
but
you're
also,
right.
Like, even in real life, I'm not sure I know the real stories.
Like, you reckon?
No.
Yeah, but Tap End was real life.
Yeah, but like, where did the houseboat girl come from?
I know. Actually, thinking about it, this might be the case of doing a few more stories because...
Right.
I've just suddenly remembered it. So
if anyone's keen to have more 24 years at the tap end stories, let us know.
Can I? I'll give you the brief outline of the situation with the houseboat, right? Which is, I was seeing this girl on a boat and her parents were in the boat next door. So like, it's a very weird situation. So I would drive, and I'll tell you the main problem I had, Cheryl, was actually the toilet situation there, because it worked on a sort of chemical toilet that was on the boat. Mm-hmm. So if you needed to go for anything extra, what I would do is pop to the local Tesco's. Which, if you're familiar with Ripmansworth, you'll know is sort of just off the canal there. And I'd frequent the toilets there and buy a donut on the way home.
Me and Chris are a really good friend, Cheryl, but I have never heard the houseboat story, so that's something I'll be investigating. Anyway, back to you.
Go for it.
So what we're saying is there are positives to it, Cheryl, okay?
Okay, no, I will bear that in mind for future conquest.
Okay. So it's a guy you met on Tinder, but he lives on a houseboat. Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
We arranged to meet up, I think it was at 7:30, near where he was moored up. Okay. I turned up a little bit late. I thought I'd start off by being fashionably late, by like 5-10 minutes. And he wasn't there, so I called him to see where he was. And he said, oh, I've just got out of the shower, won't be long, just wait. So he left me waiting a bit longer. He eventually turned up. And then I thought, right, let's get the date started, and we were going to do dinner. And he asked me if I would go and drive to pick up a Chinese because he hadn't cooked.
Oh, wow.
Because his car wasn't working. I had a problem with his car. So I went to go get the Chinese, and we got back, got to the boat, finally saw the boat, and then we sat outside and we ate the Chinese. And it was, that's when it started to be quite nice. We were chatting, it was going quite well.
When you were sat in the houseboat there, sorry, because I'm just having a flashback as well. When you were sat there, did it have little circular windows that basically anyone walking past could sort of look into? And did that make you paranoid as well?
I was sat outside. We were, I don't know what the technical word is. We're outside, so not inside. We're, you know, out on the bit, kind of...
On the deck?
Out in the open. The deck, that's the word,
right, okay.
I guess. It's only small, a small bit, the pointy bit at the front. Mm.
Was it in a large deck or was it a small deck?
It was it's quite a small deck.
Okay.
He needs to get his deck enlarged, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So dinner finished, and just as we were sort of packing up our dishes, because we put it on plates because we're not animals, he said to me, you stay here and wash the dishes.
Wow.
So <Okay. laughs> by now it's dark. We've had a glass of wine, and he said, he made the bed, and he said, oh, let's move it inside. This was the week, and this is sad, but this was the week that Roger Moore died. And he wanted to put on a James Bond movie. He wanted to watch a James Bond movie.
Okay, that's fine. Okay. Cheryl, we've not even heard about The Great Escape yet.
Yeah, you won't believe this.
Okay, I can't wait.
I was really kind of wondering like what to do. I mean, I'd had a glass of wine. I didn't really want to leave straight away because I was driving. But I always try and see the best in people. And I thought, I'm just going to sit with him and watch James Bond if that's what he really wants to do.
Okay.
And the TV was in like the bedroom bit. So the bedroom bit is just essentially the mattress with the TV on the wall.
Yes.
And I thought, oh, maybe that's just him coming up with excuses to get me into the bedroom.
Yeah, like a Bond and chill sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
We get on the bed, and then I sort of lie down and we start watching the movie. And I'm not lying. Within 5 minutes, he started snoring and he was fast asleep.
Oh, God. What a cat.
So...
Right. Okay, so we've got houseboat, we've got laundry, we've got James Bond.
Yeah, you do all the errands.
At this point, I thought perhaps I should leave because this is clearly not the kind of date I was expecting to go on.
No.
So I grabbed my bits, my bag, not my bits. I grabbed my bag and I make my way up to the deck. And you know, you have like the little barrier. It was more like a rope, but it's sort of, you know, half a meter up to stop you falling off.
Yeah.
No, I'm not very flexible.
Chris,
and
Chris knows all about it.
Yeah.
I threw my bag onto the jetty and I'm not flexible, but I managed to get my leg over this little barrier and get my leg onto the jetty.
Yep.
So I've got one leg on the jetty, one leg on the boat. And as I'm trying to get my other leg over, I just end up pushing the boat away.
Yes.
No. So you're doing the splits almost.
Essentially doing, basically did the splits, but I can't go very far with the splits. And I got as far as I could go and I fell backwards into the water.
Oh, no.
You fell into the river.
Overboard.
Into the canal.
I fell in, yeah. I mean, this was in the sea. It was in a lovely, boring fire.
Whereabouts?
Yeah, on the Solent, actually.
Oh, gross. I'm from there. You don't want to get in that sea.
I know.
It's all gone Baywatch. So this is amazing.
It's not Baywatch. It's dirty brown water.
So you're in the water. Does this wake him up or anything?
Yeah, nothing. I don't hear a stir. I didn't hear anything. I mean, it's got to be a 11:30 midnight. There's no one around. So I kind of, and I haven't told him this either. I just swam up to the little ladder bit. Just, it's probably the worst walk of shame ever.
This is the worst. This is the worst experience ever after a date.
The swim of shame.
The swim of shame. No one's ever had to do the swim of shame. I'm sure of it.
This is so good. Whereabouts in the Solent was it?
This was Port Solent.
Oh, lush.
The swim of shame. It's changing the game. That's what you've done with this dating story. It's a game changer.
I want to know if anyone else has done the swim
of shame.
No one's
done it.
No, Scott, I don't think they have.
This is mad.
But let's put it out there.
And did you see him again?
I think I might have started a few new trends. So we've got Bond and Chill and the swim of shame. I hadn't really realised that until I'd spoken to you.
You're brilliant.
Did you see him again?
I never saw him again. I haven't heard from him again. I blocked him.
Right,
and then I just
I'm gutted that
on.
He doesn't know about...
But I wish him well in wherever his boat has taken him.
That's the thing. That's the wonderful thing about being dating from a houseboat, right? If your Tinder radius dries up, you move on, don't you? You find a new pond to fish in. Plenty of fish.
A new sea to swim in.
Yeah. I love it so much. Also, I felt like I ended up saying quite a lot during this story about a girl that I used to see on a narrowboat. But it's got that experience back in my head. And weirdly, throughout this week, I haven't been able to stop thinking about that. Not her so much. Lovely girl and that, but oh, I'm digging a hole already. But just like the whole boat thing. It was a bit weird, but it was cool and it was fun. Abby, you live on a narrowboat, right?
Yes, that's right.
Or was it that you used to live on a narrowboat?
No, I live on it at the moment. I moved on there almost 2 years ago. Just with my boyfriend, so yeah, it's never a dull day.
Yeah, so you must have loved this story.
Yeah, it was very, very entertaining, but yeah, he did sound like a very strange guy, this one. That's the only reason I texted him.
Oh, right, so you're here to defend the narrowboat people, are you?
Yes. I said, we're not all that strange, I promise.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough. I always worry about this when people come onto the show and talk about a hobby or talk about where they're from, and then they're a little bit odd themselves, and then it gives a bad reputation to everyone involved. I'm sure the guy is a nice guy. He was just a bit weird on the dating front.
Yeah, very weird.
I get it. So you just want to come on and say, look, not everyone that lives on a narrowboat is strange.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, there is quite a lot of strange ones, but I consider myself to be quite normal.
And have you and your boyfriend always lived on a narrowboat, or was it a case that one of you were new to it at some point when you started dating?
Well, it was when we started dating, that we were both just living there. He lived with his friend and I lived with my mum. But my mum had a boyfriend who lived on a boat, so I'm quite used to going on boats, so it was kind of my idea to move on to it, and he was just crazy enough to go along with it, really.
That's cool. Do you think you're going to live there forever?
Well, we'll see. Everybody says that. I mean, obviously space isn't a great thing at the moment, but we do enjoy it. It's good, especially when it's summer.
I did ask this on the show. Do you ever get concerned about the little windows on the boat in case people walk past on the footpath and look in and see you up to stuff?
Well... That is always a bit of an issue. You've got to sort of duck under the windows to get changed sometimes. But we just always try and keep the blinds closed on that side, really.
Yeah. You've got to be careful about these types of things. And ultimately, she ended up in the water. Has that happened to you yet?
Touch wood, not yet. But I have had to escape from my own boat before when my boyfriend locked me in. So that was...
How did you manage that?
Well, he's padlocked the door together, and luckily we've got a big side hatch that opens up like a big sort of window. So I've actually ended up having to climb there and sort of scale down the side of the boat to get myself out.
This is great. I'm telling you, this feature that we do, Great Escapes, is going to have so many good stories like this. Abby, thanks so much for being on.
Right, you're welcome. Thank you for calling.
It's good to get your point across, isn't it? Not all narrowboat people are odd. That's what you wanted to say.
Yes.
Fair enough. All right, thanks, Abby.
Thank you.
I know we ask you guys to do quite a lot to get involved with the show, but any great escape stories, please let us know. scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. Everyone's got one in the locker, surely. We've all been in that situation. Another thing this week that you guys have been helping out with is plans for if Scott was to lose his job as a radio presenter. I've had so much fun with this because it genuinely offends him quite a lot. But he did come to a realisation that he doesn't have that many skills other than the one skill that he has, which he's amazing at, which is being a radio presenter. So you guys were on offering work experience. And bless him, we went to the pub last night and we did actually have quite a sincere moment where he turned to me and says, "You do think I could get a real job if I wanted to, could I?" And I lied and said yes. But anyway, keep the work experience offers coming in, because some of them are very, very funny. But be honest with them. You know, don't just say that he can do anything that is like the most complicated part of your job when the reality is he wouldn't be able to do it. You all know Scott Mills, so be realistic with the offers. And that's it from me this week. Thank you so much for listening to this extra podcast. Of course, we'll be back Monday, 1 o'clock, with the actual radio show. And the Scott Mills Daily will be back next week. So, back stronger next week. That's another podcast I do. But if you listen to that, you'll get the reference. And I'll see you then. Have a good weekend. Bye.
If you love sport, then BBC Sounds has some amazing sports podcasts available now.
Busy Grand Prix, wasn't it?
Very good racing.
Hear the latest from trackside on the Checkered Flag Formula One podcast.
Two young Brits coming into Formula One. That'll give us three Brits on the start line.
Relive the best of the Six Nations with Rugby Union Weekly.
Massive weekend of Six Nations rugby. They're a better team than they were 2 years ago, and I have been impressed with them.
And subscribe to Football Daily for the latest football news and analysis from BBC Radio 5 Live.
We have plenty to discuss.
A truly seismic result.
Sport on Sounds. Available now.